Hey, good evening. It's 7:30 Michigan time. We're going to get started here. Turn your Bibles open, or not your Bibles here, but the Lost Books of the Bible and the Forgotten Books of Eden. Okay, to Barnabas chapter 6, and that's page 152. And we'll be starting around verse 3. Make sure you have a notepad ready or highlighting your pen. Get ready to take some notes. Okay. All right, as we continue on here, and chapter 6. Came on verse 3. Okay, he says, "Hear therefore how the priests and the priests of the temple did foreshow this also. The Lord, by his command, which is written, declared that whosoever did not fast the appointed fast, he should die the death, because he also was himself one day to offer up his body for his sins, that so the type of what was done in Isaac might be fulfilled, who was offered upon the altar." Okay, so what he says right here is concerning the verse 3. The Lord, by his command, was to point us to the Son of God, by this command which he spoke to Abraham. Okay, and it also shows that by the denial of the flesh, we will see God, but only by his grace. Okay, so Abraham also saw a type and shadow here of Christ rising from the dead. Okay, but he only could foresee that by the revelation of the Spirit. Okay, let's see, all right, go on here. So that the type of what was done in Isaac might be fulfilled, who was offered upon the altar, that by faith a new generation would arise, okay, from one seed, which was Isaac. Okay, so that by faith a new generation will arise, okay, which will provide a new covenant, new faith, and say new knowledge, okay, of which the former would be consumed and pass away. Okay, is that which is of Moses. Okay, all things that were offered upon the altar were consumed, except Christ rose from the dead, which shows that that which is second is eternal. Okay, so the elder shall serve the younger. Okay, now verse 4. What therefore is it that he says by the prophet? And let them eat of the goat, which is offered in the day of the fast, for all their sins. Okay, hearken diligent, my brethren, and all the priests, and they only now shall eat, but as a priest eat, the people fast. Okay, shall eat the inwards, not washed with vinegar. Okay, why so? Because I know that when I shall hereafter offer my flesh for the sins of a new people, okay, you will give me vinegar to drink mixed with gall. Therefore do you only eat, the people fasting while and lamenting in sackcloth and ashes. Okay, for the priest that eats the flesh of the goat cannot touch that which the vinegar washed. Okay, but Jesus, tasting the vinegar, fulfilled not only this type of shadow, but provided his flesh for all to eat, in remembrance of himself, not the carnal food. Okay, you can see the parallel in that. And that he might foreshow that he was to suffer for them, in verse 6. Okay, hear then how he appointed it. Yet there's another type of shadow of the goat. Take, he says, I want you to take two goats that are just alike, fair and like, and offer them. Okay, and let the priest, the high priest, take one of them for a burnt offering. And what must be done with the other? Well, let it, says he, be accursed. That means send them away as separate from the others. Okay, but that which is sent away separate from others was to live. Okay, in verse 8, and we also, being separated from others, are alive in a God. Consider how exactly, okay, this appears to have been a type of Jesus. Okay, and let all the congregation, as he says here, spit upon it and prick it, okay, and put the scarlet wool upon its head, and thus let it be carried forth into wilderness. Okay, and of course this shows the disdain. Okay, this showed disdain for the living goat that is to be different and separated, and thus they also spit, okay, and smote Jesus as being different because he was a new covenant. Okay, which also through our suffering, we also depict that same pattern, okay, being separate from that which is common, because we are also chosen of God. Okay, and this being done, verse 9, He that was appointed to convey the goat led it into the wilderness, and took away the scarlet wool, and put it among the thorn bush, upon a thorn bush whose young sprouts, okay, when we find them in the field, okay, we are wont to eat. So the fruit of that thorn is sweet. That means showing repentance. That's sweet. That repentance is sweet, but you have to suffer in order to maintain it. Okay, also, we see here also the scarlet wool, which color was also the sins of the people. And again, the scarlet wool was put on the head of the goat, which also shown it was type and shadow of being blinded by that reason. Okay, being blinded by reason of their sins. Okay, they'd be led forth where they wouldn't want to go. Okay, now verse 10. And to what end was this ceremony? Now Barnabas says here, consider. One was offered upon the altar, and the other was accursed. Okay, and separated for a holy purpose. Okay, even though that was accursed, it was separated from a holy purpose, as Jesus also. Okay, and why was that which was accursed crowned? Because they shall see Christ in that day having a scarlet garment upon his body, and shall say, is not this he whom he crucified? Okay, showing the parallel there. Having despised him, pierced him, and mocked him. Certainly this is he, okay, who then said that he was the Son of God. So again, we see a pattern right here from the vulnerability, humiliation, pain to glory. Yeah, the two goats, as he said earlier, okay, were to be fair and alike. Okay, fair and alike. The one that was suffering and the one that would rule. So that the Jews will identify him that suffered, okay, by the marks in his hands. Okay, when they said, where did you get these scars in your hands? And Jesus would show them hands. Show them his hands, he says, these with which I was crucified in the house of my friends, as the prophet said. Is that this he whom we crucified? Having despised him and pierced him and mocked him? So we can see that this is the same path that we take. Okay, that one of humiliation unto that which is the reward of our glory. Okay, which those also on the day of that judgment will behold us. Okay, aren't these the ones certainly that we abhor and despise? But now look at they are gloriously arrayed. Okay, and the apparel and the splendid apparel of our Lord's glory. Okay, and they'd be standing there yet in their shame, having nothing to offer the king. Okay, verse 12. As therefore he shall be then like to what was on earth, so were the Jews heretofore commanded to take two goats, fair and equal, okay, as to represent Adam and Christ being equal. Okay, but yet different in purpose. They were equal but different in purpose. Okay, the one lived after the signature of self-indulgences and intemperances, okay, and the other, of course, lived under the restrictions of that law of grace and truth. Okay, so they take two goats, fair and equal. Then when they shall see the Savior, that is hereafter coming in the clouds of heaven, they be amazed at the likeness of the goats. Okay, and truly this Adam which was second is just like the first, except now he's in a glorified body. Okay, verse 13. Wherefore you here again see a type of Jesus who was to suffer for us. Verse 14. But what then signifies this, that the wool was to be put into the midst of the thorns, okay, as a reward of the sufferings? This is also a figure of Jesus sent out to the church. Okay. For as he who would take away the scarlet wool must undergo many difficulties. If you want the prize, you have to undergo the suffering. Okay, you have to take on that yoke. And the yoke of this knowledge requires submission. Okay, it requires that we remain within certain restrictions. Crucifying the imagination, putting to death the aspiration, okay, bearing the principle, so that we can continually walk in newness of life with Him. But this only can be done by His baptism, okay, which He puts us in, okay, and that Spirit, of course, which is engrafted within us. Okay, but in order to get the blessing, okay, you have to undergo many difficulties, because that thorn was very sharp, and with difficulty get it. Okay, that's to get that scarlet wool. Okay, to get it, you get a blessing. Okay, so they, says Christ, that will see me and come to my kingdom must do many afflictions and troubles attain unto me. Okay, as you endure the suffering for the prize. Okay, chapter 7. But what type do you suppose it to have been where it was commanded to the people of Israel that grown persons in whom sins are come to perfection, you might want to highlight that, in whom sins are come to perfection. Okay. Because it shows that the Okay, as concerning the signature of Adam continues to go through transformation. Okay, it's going to go through transformation one way or the other. It's either going to transform into an image of a creature, okay, like we see the locust coming out of the bottomless pit, okay, or it's going to transform into a glorious image of Christ, okay, which, of course, only comes about by faith. All right? So grown persons in whom sins are come to perfection shall offer an heifer, and after they had killed it, okay, burn the same. Of course, showing that the earthly priesthood is really the priesthood itself to be insufficient in power. Okay, offering that which is upon the altar being consumed shows also that their works also were of no value. Okay, that the works being the works of the flesh, and everything that's born of the soil, okay, returns to the same, ashes to ashes. Okay, but then of course that which is the spirit is eternal, and it carries us, okay, it carries us as that reward and inheritance back to our Father. Verse 2. But then young men should take up the ashes, and put them in vessels, and tie a piece of scarlet wool and hyssop upon it, upon a stick. And so the young men, the three young men, okay, should sprinkle every one of the people, and that they should be clear from their sins. Again, but separate from the priests. But he's making distinction right here concerning temporariness of that first covenant, okay, and also preparation of that which is to come. Okay. Verse 3, consider how all these are delivered in a figure to us, types and shadows. In verse 4, the heifer is Jesus Christ. The wicked men that were to offer it are those sinners, the Pharisees, Sadducees, rulers, and priests, okay, Caiaphas and Annas there, okay, who brought him to death, who afterwards have no more to do with it. Okay, the sinners have no more the honor of handling it, okay, as those priests. Because they found completion in iniquity now, see? I mean, they found that, you know, their principle was now completed in seeing Jesus die on the cross. But in verse 5, but the young men, being the 12 apostles, that performed the sprinkling, which means the purification of the people, signified those who preached to us the forgiveness of sins and the purification of the hearts, to whom the Lord gave authority to preach this gospel. That's the apostles' office. Okay, being at the beginning 12 to signify the 12 tribes. Because there were 12 tribes of Israel, okay, which means starting a new people. Okay, starting a new people, just like Jacob, okay, began the tribes of Israel. You see, Jesus also began a new people in himself, for which also we are adopted into it, okay, being circumcised. As all those that joined themselves to Abraham also had to be circumcised, okay, in order to be identified with him. Okay, to signify the tribes, because there were 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, selecting a new priesthood from among all the people, okay, and not Levi only. But now, why were the three young men appointed to sprinkle? To know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they were great before God, because they're patriarchs. And each one, of course, that the individual was selected as to image Jesus Christ, okay, in certain acts and words that they performed. And why was the wool put upon a stick? It's just like Jesus hanging on the cross. Because the kingdom of Jesus was founded upon the cross. Okay, as a staff, the stick that was put on is that which we lean on. Okay, the staff which they tied the scarlet wool to is that very staff that we lean on, which is the cross, which is the covenant. Okay, the covenant which Jesus purchased for us, with that stick. Because the kingdom of Jesus was found upon the cross, and therefore they that put their trust in him shall live forever. That is leaning upon the staff, being his cross. Okay, just like the Apostle Paul said, we take up a cross daily and follow him. Okay, which shows it as like a shepherd's staff. We use it to lean upon in order to get from one point to another point. In verse 8. But why was the wool and the hyssop put together? That is to signify that in the kingdom of Christ there should be evil and filthy days. Okay, in which, however, we shall be saved as we lean on a cross and being purified. And because he that has any disease in the flesh by some filthy humors is cured by hyssop, showing that he is a contact point, of course, and that through the stewardship of the apostles' doctrine, that we will be saved as by hyssop. Verse 9. Wherefore these things being thus done are to us indeed evident, but to the Jews they are obscure, as those in a false religious system today. because they hearkened not to the voice of the Lord, which means they received and rejected his witness. Okay, so we can see the mystery of Christ unfolding itself, okay, as we believe. But sinners object to the Spirit, just as the priest crucified Jesus, not wishing to see his fulfillment of the Scriptures, because Jesus did not select their, say, correctiveness. Okay, therefore, they rejected, okay, his righteousness. Therefore, the Scripture again speaks concerning our ears, that God has circumcised them together with our hearts. Okay, that is, therefore, the Scripture speaking of this, the holy writings speak prophecy, and not just a letter, okay, written with ink. Okay, that the Scriptures, the holy writings themselves, speak prophecy, okay, in these things. Okay, and it's just not, it's the ink and pen. Okay, so we can see Christ in these things. For thus says the Lord by the holy prophets. See, by the hearing of the ear they obeyed me, not the reading of the letter, by the hearing of the ear. And that's an important difference there. See, not acting on precept online, but by the witness of God, they became sons of God. Okay? We become children of God by the Spirit, not by the letter. Okay? But those that try to conform themselves, okay, by the precept of mind, will transgress against God. Okay? Because you cannot possibly fulfill that outside the Spirit. Okay, which adorns us with the capability of fulfillment. Okay, the very opposite is true. So by hearing the ear, they obeyed me. Okay, in verse 2. So you might want to, every time you see the word hearing, the ear there, or hearing or ear, might want to circle that, because this is the point that Barnabas, the Apostle Barnabas, is making to us. And again, they who are far off shall hear. So you might want to circle the word hear there. That means they're hearing a report. Okay, they're not reading a letter, they're hearing a report. Okay, which report they heard through the lips of the apostles, being contact points. Okay, they who are far off shall hear and understand what things I have done. And again, he says in verse 2, circumcise your heart, saith the Lord. That is for the Spirit, because it's for the Spirit that brings the understanding in the soul. Okay, not just reading the letter. Okay, verse 3, again you see the word hear, so you might want to circle that again. Okay, and connect those together. And again he said, hear, O Israel, for thus saith the Lord your God. Okay, that which the Spirit speaks, okay, by the divine revelation. This is grace. Okay, and again, the Spirit of God prophesies, okay, speaking in these things, saying, who is there that would live forever? Let him hear the voice of my Son. Hear the hearing, okay, grace comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, not with the eyes, okay, where you see, but with the heart, you will believe this report. Not with the eyes, but with the heart, you will believe. Okay, which means it has to be spoken through a vessel, as Barnabas brought out earlier, as concerning the 12 apostles being contact points. Okay, as also through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who are contact points to the faith of the people, which represented Christ, the government of Christ, so also today. Okay, as it was in the fifth week, okay, as the fourth week, the fifth week, and the first eighth week, okay, also today. Okay, that the stewardship of Christ is and that tradition is continually carried through by the Spirit which lives forever. Okay. Verse 4, and again, he says the word hear. So you might want to circle the word hear there. Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, which is to reflect that heaven being the greater, the earth being servant. Okay, the earth, those of the earth now must hear that which heaven dictates. Okay, and he says here, because the Lord has spoken these things for a witness. Okay, this is the report which God speaks to the lips of his chosen. Verse 5, and again he says hear. So you might want to circle the word hear again. So you can draw the line from word hear, hear to hear, and also the voice of the Lord and that witness. Okay, that's what we talk about is concerning the Spirit carries the faith in the heart. Okay, not the letter. The letter doesn't carry it, but the Spirit carries that faith. And again he says, hear the word of the Lord, okay, the revelation of that grace, okay, which unfolds to us the understanding in the heart to those that want to believe. So he says, hear the word of the Lord, you princes of the people. And again he says, hear, O children. Okay, so the Apostle Barnabas is selecting these particular verses out of the Bible, all right, in order to pick that particular word there, hear. Hear, O children, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Okay, what was crying in the wilderness? Not the Torah, okay, but a person. Okay, and that person was John the Baptist. And he was called a voice because the Spirit spoke through him. Okay? The Spirit spoke through him. Wherefore he has circumcised our ears by the hearing. Okay, that we should hear his word and believe. And that we take on the yoke of this grace. And of course, the word believe right there. Might want to underline that. And also circle the word here. Okay, which means to acknowledge, to mold with, to submit to. Okay, we're hearing the report. We're taking on its yoke now. And we're living according to that revelation. Okay, so we acknowledge, to mold with, to submit to. We're living according to that revelation now. Okay, but as for that circumcision in which the Jews trusted, being in the flesh, it was removed. By what? By the Spirit. Okay, so this sign was temporary. That's what Barnabas is conveying here to the saints. Okay, the sign was temporary, okay? But it was a symbolism of God's work which take place within us, and that through this we would propagate the kingdom of God. Okay, through one circumcision, a seed was propagated according to the flesh, to fulfill the promises made to Abraham that kings and priests would come out of his loins. Okay, how much more are the loins of our God? Okay, who has also given us unto us the first fruits of the Spirit. Okay, that we being children of his also continue to propagate his kingdom through virtue. Okay, and not through the flesh. Okay, so therefore that which is of the flesh was abolished. Okay, because they had no power to that, to carry on that tradition of the Spirit. So the sign was not of the carnal nature, but what the Spirit would give to the soul that believes. Okay, so it was abolished. The circumcision of which God spoke was not of the flesh. Verse 7. But they have transgressed his commands, because the evil one has deceived them. Satan entered into all carnal acts. Whatever springs the soil, okay, whatever springs the soil, Satan enters into. And we can see this as he entered into the knowledge that was on the vine. Okay, the vine was cursed because Satan planted it. So for springing from the soil as it did and partaking of it, Satan entered into it and he overcame them, didn't he? Okay, the sweetness turned to bitterness. Okay, upon that revelation, and they saw their nakedness. Okay, that they were frail and frame. Okay, and that they lost that glory and that they could not ascend and they could not ascend the orders by the knowledge that they received. Okay, Satan gained entrance to carnal things, to which carnal things now are removed by Christ, because all carnal things are consumed, because the evil one has deceived them. Okay, death entered in that door. Okay, if death entered into the door of pleasure, okay, it's also removed by faith in him, by faith in Christ. Okay, so entered the door of the reason to remove faith in the heart, because the evil one had deceived them. For thus God bespeaks them. Thus saith the Lord of God. Okay, this is what the Divine Spirit says. Here, he says, here I find a new law, which means here I now make a new law for you. Okay, I'm now giving you new restrictions. Okay, not that which is temporal. Okay, which has to do with the nature of man. Okay, that which is eternal, which has to do with the nature of God. Okay, which law of grace we live by now. See, which law of grace we live by now. So he says, sow not among the thorns. Okay, that which is interest. Okay, but circumcise yourselves to the Lord your God. Okay, by the circumcision of Christ. Okay, removing the body, the sins of the flesh through his circumcision. Okay, so what does he mean by this saying, hearken unto the Lord? He says here, listen to the Spirit. See, through the vessel, not by the Torah, but through the vessel. Verse 8. And again he says this, circumcise the hardness of your heart. Remove the false justifications of your principle by repentance. Okay, and take on my yoke. Okay, so this is what Barnabas is saying here. Be circumcised the hardness of your heart. Remove the false justifications of your principle by repentance and take on my yoke. This is what those in a false religious system have to do, see? They have to take on the yoke of disgrace in order for them to be saved. Okay, but as long as they stand to their false justifications, they refuse to hear with their ears and understand with their heart. Okay, the report, which God now speaks today. And again, behold, saith the Lord. Now look at this, he says. All the nations are circumcised. Okay, all the nations are circumcised. That practice was maintained as a tradition, okay, which began with Abraham. Okay, which shows that Gentiles, being unconverted and apart from the covenant, also can follow a certain path of tradition, okay, which is religious in nature but dead in faith. Okay, it's religious in nature but dead in faith. So what is Barnabas saying right here? That there be many of those today that are circumcised, yet separate from the covenant. Okay, so they're alive in the forms of religion as concerning these things, but yet dead as concerning faith in the covenant. Behold, saith the Lord, all nations are all. It says, Behold, saith the Lord, all the nations are circumcised, having not heard him. They have not lost their foreskin, but this people is uncircumcised in heart. Okay, and watch what he says right here. Okay, being equal in ignorance, they appear as, of course, the two goats. Being equal in ignorance, as the Jews, as the heathen, okay, as the heathen, as the Jews. Okay, resisting the Spirit. But you will say the Jews were circumcised for a sign, yeah, and so were the Syrians. They were also circumcised. They carried tradition of Abraham, but not in their heart. See, their faith being absent of the heart made the religion vain. Okay? Faith being absent from the heart made the religion vain. So were the Syrians. They also circumcised. They followed a tradition which began with Abraham, which they saw. At first they mocked it. But then Satan entered into that. So they looked at it as a benefit to themselves, okay, including that within their own religious practice, as a lot of religions do today. They include everything within a religious practice. All kinds of baptisms, all kinds of communions, all kinds of washings, all kinds of icons and everything else. They're including everything. Okay? And so are the Syrians and the Arabians and all the idolatrous priests, okay, mocking it. Okay? Satan mocking that which was holy, okay, by influencing the minds of the ungodly to practice the same. Okay? So, in other words, raising up competition against the truth. That's what he's doing. And all the idolatrous priests did the same. But are they therefore the covenant of Israel? No, they're not. Okay? The covenant is only those of faith. So you might want to circle the word covenant there. Okay, the covenant of Israel. Okay, and even the Egyptians themselves are circumcised, but again, apart from the covenant, which is this is the sign of a lie. Okay, called deceitful lust, a sign of a lie. Okay, as the mark of the beast, 666, a sign of a lie. Okay, understand therefore, children, these things more fully. That Abraham, who was the first to be circumcised, that brought in circumcision, looking forward by the revelation of the Spirit, remember, he who against hope believed in hope, okay, which hope being present, okay, that is the hope of the flesh, okay, was that which is the hope of the flesh is impossible, okay, but he foresaw by the Spirit, okay, that which is impossible with man is possible with God, okay, for with God all things are possible, okay, so we lean towards that which is a faith and revelation, okay, which we will see the fulfillment, okay, because it's God that initiated it and he'll carry it through, okay, just like he opened the Red Sea, okay, it was God that initiated it. Even though it was through the voice of a man. Okay, that means the vessel that he selected to bring those people into the rest, okay, from the slavery and the bondage of the knowledge of that the kingdom of Pharaoh. Okay, they brought in circumcision, looking forward in the Spirit to Jesus, circumcised. Okay, having received the mystery. And now this is interesting, so you might want to highlight this too. In three letters. So the Apostle Barnabas here, okay, is going to expound to us something here that rather escape our attention. Okay, and he's going to be expounding on something here. Okay, having received the mystery of three letters, which of course is I, H, and T. Okay, which three letters also recognize the Son of God dying on the cross. Okay, let's see here. Okay, now this is not numerology. Okay, he's not counting each letter of the Torah, okay, and drawing conclusions like trying to discover something. Now, Barnabas is not doing that. Okay, but he's showing us here that the Spirit of the Lord selected this particular number for this particular purpose. Okay, revealing Christ. Okay, not revealing something of, you know, again, the apocalyptic revelations that people are trying to dig for all the time. You know, trying to find something new in Scripture. Okay, and that's, that is more or less like trying to identify, okay, the end days, the last time, the end days. Okay, verse 11, for the Scripture says that Abraham circumcised 318 men, okay, of his house. okay, which recognized that, which recognized Abraham, okay, as a contact point for that covenant, because it was given to him, see? Abraham was given this circumcision, being a contact point for that covenant, that all would come under his care and stewardship of knowledge, okay, would be considered saved, okay? So also with Moses, so also with Christ, and so also with the apostles, okay? See, but what therefore was the mystery that was made known unto him? Okay, his eyes were opened when he saw this number. It says, so verse 12, Mark, first to 18, next to 300. Okay, Mark, which means now select. Watch these numbers, he says. First to 18 and next to 300, for the numeral letters of 10 and 8 are IH. Okay, which means these denote Jesus, the Son of God. Okay, and because the cross, okay, whereas which blood, of course, the Son of God was going to hang on, the T, okay, being crucified, and because the cross was that by which we were to find, which by which through door we were to find grace, therefore he adds 300, the note of which is T, the figure of the cross. See, wherefore by two letters he signified Jesus, but a third his cross. Jesus, the Son of God, dying on the cross. Okay, and now what does this have to do with circumcision? Okay, because circumcision represents a new birth. Okay, and the cross, that through suffering, for 3 days they were sore, and that represents for 3 days Jesus was removed from the earth, being in the center of the earth, preaching the gospel. Okay, in order to bring deliverance to those which are in the center of the earth. But on the third day he rose again, for which also they were healed. Okay, and also by his resurrection, by whose stripes we are healed. See, so he carries the theme. The theme is carried through for healing. Okay, that by this new covenant, healing would come, just like through that of Abrahamic, the Abrahamic covenant, they would also be saved. Okay, because that was a door. It provided the form. This was a contact point. Verse 14. Okay, he who has put the engrafted gift of his doctrine within us, engrafted gift of doctrine, which has to do with the knowledge being laid within the heart, the stones of the altar. Okay, the knowledge, the new knowledge now being laid within the heart, okay, preparing us an altar to suffer on, as Isaac also laid upon the altar. So also we remove, okay, that which is close to us, okay, in the principle, the imagination, the aspiration, okay, to be removed from us. Okay, he who has put the engrafted gift of this doctrine within us knows that knows that I never taught to anyone a more certain truth. Barnabas says here, but I trust that you are worthy of it. That is, that the spirit that speaks in me, okay, will carry this revelation of grace to your heart, okay, to behold his wonderful works, okay, in these things. Okay. Now we get here to chapter 9. Wait one second here. Okay. Chapter 9, as we continue on here. Okay, it goes on here. But why did Moses say, you shall not eat of the swine, neither the eagle nor the hawk? And this is why it's good to memorize Psalms 1, because we're going to see here that Barnabas is going to quote your favorite chapter here. Okay, and as he quotes your favorite chapter, he's also going to be expounding on it for you. So the next time you go through it, as you lay in bed at night, go through Psalms 1 in your mind, you can start reflecting it back upon these things, and the Spirit will start, you know, you can see how the Spirit circumcised your heart, brings these things back to your mind. Okay, that's the anointing. Okay, but what did Moses say here? You shall not eat the swine, neither the eagle nor the hawk, nor the crow, nor any fish, okay, that has not scale upon him. The answer, that in the spiritual sense, now you might want to underline the spiritual sense, okay, underline the spiritual sense there in verse 1. The spiritual sense, which has to do with the pig. Which, now, the pig is a type of person. Okay? And the crow is a type of person. Now, this is why he's signifying here the different signatures of Adam. Okay? The fish is a type of a person. The rabbit is going to be a type of person. The hyena, he's going to be talking about the hyena. And here, also in verse 9, the weasel. Being a type of person. Okay, which has to do with the signature of Adam and his habits. Okay, the habits that he picks up, or that they pick up as they grow older. Okay, as sin is being, as sin is coming, or iniquity is coming to completion and perfection within them. Okay, so here we talk about the spiritual sense. He comprehended three doctrines that were to be gathered from there, okay, as the carnal signatures exhibiting Adam's habits. Okay, verse 2. Besides which he says to them in the book of Deuteronomy, okay, you might want to underline the book of Deuteronomy. Barnabas is familiar with that, okay, which also we should be familiar with, the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, and I will give my statutes on this people. Wherefore, is not the command of God that they should not eat, they should not eat these things, but Moses in the Spirit, okay, spoke unto them. Okay, and now Moses in the Spirit speaks to them in the form of a prophecy, not the fellowship with unbelievers. Okay, not the fellowship with unbelievers. This is a lesson that he's teaching also to the children of Israel. Okay, but the Spirit, even though it's writing these things down, which we know these things really exist, okay, and which of course they weren't to come in contact with, okay, not just coming in contact with a crow, but not coming in contact also with the people that carry these particular habits, okay, because people that pick up, you know, that carry bad habits also like leprosy can spread bad habits. Okay, that's why covering should be worn over the upper lip of those which are not in covenant, because they are considered unclean. Okay, so here the Moses speaking the Spirit is also speaking the form of prophecy. Okay, not the fellowship with unbelievers. And that's exactly what Paul brings out in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now the soul, okay, he forbade them to eat. Now meaning thus much. Okay, you shall not join yourself. Now, as we go through here, I want you to underline or circle or highlight the word joining, not join. Do not join yourself to them. Okay, don't become a member, okay, of that kind of fellowship. Okay, you shall not join yourself to such persons as are like unto pigs or swine. Okay, who, whilst they live in pleasure, forget their God. Okay, but when any want pinches them, okay, then they know the Lord. Okay, suddenly they're there. As a soul, when she is full, knows not her master anymore. He knows not her master, because they come. The purpose of their involvement is only to gain, and then after that, they wander away into pleasures. Okay, as a soul, and so he says. So the apostle Barnabas is writing this for our exhortation, okay, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay. Okay, but when she is hungry, she makes a noise, and being again fed, is silent. Okay, off alone to find pleasures. Okay, verse 4. Neither, says he, shall you eat the eagle, nor the hawk, nor the kite, nor the crow. See, that is, you shall not, there's a word not there again, not in a circle, or highlight that. You shall not keep company with such kind of men as know not how, by their labor and sweat, to get themselves food. In other words, they're not laboring with the things of the Lord. They're not chewing the cud. Okay, not meditating upon these things. Okay, so therefore, not meditating upon these things, they look for a fast fix. Okay, but interestingly, ravish away the things of others. Okay, watch how they lay snares for them. At the same time, they appear to live in perfect innocence. Okay, that means their fellowship seems genuine. Okay, their fellowship seems genuine. Verse 5. So these birds alone seek not food for themselves. Okay, but sit idle. Okay, but sitting idle seek how they may eat of the flesh of others that provide, okay, that others have provided, being destructive through their wickedness. Okay, in other words, they project for the honors, okay, of honors of their own boastings. Okay, their boastings, okay, in the things of the world. In verse 6, neither, says he, shall you eat the lamprey, nor the polypus, nor the cuttlefish. That is, you should not be like such men. So I'm going to line again one word again. Under not be like. Okay. So you can draw a line from here, verse 6 to verse 4 to up into verse 3. Okay. Don't be like these kinds of people. Okay. Because these are kinds of people that that rather live very carelessly, and they trash everything they come in contact with. Okay. Don't be such like men by using to converse with them. Well, together wicked, and adjudged to death. Okay, for so those fishes are alone accursed, and wallow in the mire, nor swim as other fishes, but tumble in the dirt at the bottom of the deep. That means they take little thought for the comfort of others, but litter the park for their own leisure. They like littering. Okay, like You want to enjoy something, but by the time you get to enjoy it, somebody's already been there. How do you know that? Because you can see what they left behind. Okay, so he's talking about don't be such as these. Okay, okay, that have destructive habits. But he adds this in verse 7, neither shall you eat the rabbit or the hare. Now, to what end? To signify this to us. You shall not be an adulterer, okay, nor liken yourself to such persons. That means it, as his habits are bad, so is his communications. Okay, they follow the same pattern. You shall not be an adulterer, nor liken yourself to such persons. Okay, for the hare, or the rabbit, every year multiplies the places of its conception. It doesn't stay in one place, but goes from person to person, and of course spreads its habits. Okay, and so many years as it lives, so many as it has, showing incontinence and pleasure. Verse 8, neither shall you eat the hyena. Now, this is a very unusual creature here, the hyena. Okay, of course, you might want to circle that too, the word hyena, just in case you want to go back. Okay, hyena is there in verse 8, hare is in verse 7. Okay, and of course, in verse 6, you have these other things right here for. Okay, the lampreyed, polypus, and the cuttlefish. And also in verse 4, you might want to circle these two, the eagle, the hawk, the kite, and the crow. Okay, and also in verse 3, it talks about the soul. So you go back and read it over more carefully on your own if you wish to do so. But he says about the hyena, that this is a very interesting habit of the hyena. Okay, what he's bringing out right here is a corrupter. Okay, but of course now as we read about the hyena, I want you to keep in mind is concerning the confusion. Okay, showing Adam's confusion of state of mind, the equity that he has, that his lifestyle is with no purpose. Okay, his lifestyle is with no purpose. There's an equity in his life. Okay, and he leans one way to the other, whatever is convenient. Neither shall you eat of the hyena. That is, again, be not an adulterer, nor a corrupter of others. Okay, neither be like to such. And why? And wherefore so? Okay, because that creature, the hyena, you know, its habits, okay, as the Edomite, you know, every year changes its kind. Very strange habits it has. And it's sometimes male and sometimes female. Okay, which again shows the confusion of Adam's nature again. Okay, but God depicts these, so you can say these temperaments and indispositions, okay, and nature. Okay, when Adam sees these things, he can also see himself and come to repentance. Okay, it's like a gospel being preached to them. Okay, in these things. Verse 9. For which cause also he justly hated the weasel. Okay, so why went on like weasel in verse 9 here? Why? Why the weasel now? To the end that they should not be like such persons, who with their mouths commit wickedness by reason of uncleanness. Okay, nor join, there's the word join again. Okay, as you said, we're not to join and not to keep company and not to join yourself to such, verse 3. Okay, not to be like, verse 6. Okay, and nor to join themselves, okay, as such as these. Not to be like such persons who with their mouths commit wickedness by the reason of their uncleanness. Okay, remember they're expressing, Adam only expresses what's in him, just like a record only plays what's put in it. Or a tape, or you know, or the VCR only plays what's on the VCR. Okay, it only plays what's on it. Okay, also the signature, whatever was written in the signature is manifested through the sound of the lips. Okay, and that's why Christ is being laid within our hearts, that we are no longer reflecting those things, okay, which defile the soul. Okay, but reflecting those things, of course, which bring healing. Okay, so we continue to express Christ by love and prophecy. Okay, nor join themselves, okay, with those impure women. Okay, who with their mouths commit wickedness, okay, as concerning as the weasel spews out in order to feed its young. Okay, also, okay, all those that listen to, okay, these things, slander, wickedness, gossip, okay, or whatever other words of wickedness, okay, continue to breed a kind of their own, because that animal conceives with its mouth. Okay, it feeds the carnal appetite with bitter words, to slander and to subvert the hearers. Okay, into a trance of confusion. That's what it does. It puts a person to a trance of confusion. Okay, as the weasel. You can see the same thing even with the cobra. Okay, as it puts its victims into a trance. Okay, or certain snakes. Okay, other snakes too can put their victims within a trance and then consumes them. Okay. So also they latch onto their victims, they poison them, then they consume them. Okay, for their own pleasure. They use them and throw them away. Okay, until they want them again. Okay, verse 10. Moses therefore speaking as concerning meats. Okay, delivered indeed three great precepts to them and the people, the Jews there, in the spiritual signification. So you might want to learn the word spiritual signification there in verse 10. And draw a line that from verse 10 up there to verse 1. Spiritual sense. Okay? Spiritual sense. Okay, but they, that's the Jews, according to desires of the flesh, being carnally minded, only understood Moses there as if he had meant it of meats. That means they only saw the food on the plate, not the wisdom for the soul. Okay, they only saw the food on the plate, but they didn't see the wisdom for the soul. Okay, it's the same thing today in the false religious system. The false religious system, the only thing they understand is what they can handle, what they can touch, what they can taste, what they can see. Okay, which shows that their hearts have not been circumcised, which means they're not in covenant with God. That their soul stands in danger of entering the gate of eternal death. Verse 11. Therefore, also David. Now let's read about King David here. Okay, if you remember, David received the pattern of the new temple. Okay, the temple of Solomon built by the Spirit. Okay, and now he received this pattern because he also read these things which Moses wrote about a place where the temple of the Lord would be established. Okay, he also read about that, and the Spirit moved him in order to design this temple, okay, which was greatly resisted by the carnal-minded priests at that time, okay, which they sought to overthrow him through conspiracies. Many conspiracies were sought against David. Okay, if he hadn't been a king, he would have been definitely assassinated. He hadn't been a king, you know, he would have been killed as the other prophets were. Verse 11, therefore David took aright the knowledge. There's the word aright the knowledge. Okay, it shows how the Spirit unfolded to him the knowledge which means the understanding was present because that's the grace of God. He had the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? So David took aright the knowledge. It shows that the Spirit unlocked its secrets to him. Okay, so that he could see more than just, you know, ink on paper. Okay? That he was not using his imagination with this. The Spirit was unlocking this pattern for him. See, there's consistency and equity in his thinking. Okay, if it was his imagination, there'd be no boundaries to it, would there? There'd be no boundaries to imagination. Okay, but seeing that it's the revelation of the Spirit, it does show consistency, direction, okay, and purpose, okay, which the imagination doesn't have with it. And therefore David took aright the knowledge of the threefold command, saying in like manner. Okay, now you can see that David's quoting out of Psalms 1. Okay, so by the Spirit he saw these things as also the habits of people. Okay, blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel, okay, of the ungodly. Okay, and here Barnabas says, the ungodly as those fishes before mentioned at the bottom of the deep in darkness. Okay, which of course they utilize, they indulge, and they destroy. Okay. In other words, we call them biker fish. Like biker fish. Okay, all they do is they move in, they destroy, they move out and find some other place to trash. Okay. Okay, now verse 13. Nor stood in the way of the sinners, as they who seem to fear the Lord in the forms, you know, forms of religion, but yet sin as the soul. They being driven only by habit, not by faith. They being driven by habit, not by faith. Okay, verse 14. And remember, he's expounding on Psalms 1 here. Okay? And has not sat in the seat of the scorners, as those birds who sit and watch that they may devour. Okay? In other words, all they do is watch for the opportunity to take. Okay? Watch the opportunity to take. Of course, if you have something, they're going to take it from you. Okay? Here you have the law concerning meat perfectly set forth, according to the true knowledge of it, identifying Adam's temperament. Okay, in these things, but Moses says, "You shall eat." But Moses says here, "You shall eat all that divides the hoof and choose the cud." So you might want to highlight that in verse 16, because now we're talking about the cud chewers. Okay, and those that divide the hoof, which means there's distinction for discernment. So those that meditate upon the word of God grow in discernment and understanding. Okay, that they're able to distinguish between those who do serve Him and those who do not serve him, between the clean and the unclean. Okay, those who you should join yourself to fellowship with, because if you join yourself to the wise, you're going to be wise. If you join yourself to the foolish, you're going to be foolish. That's just the nature of things. Right? If you eat thorns, you're going to cut your tongue. Okay, if you eat grapes, you know, then you'll be full. Okay, so says Moses, you shall eat all that divides the hoof and chews the cud, signifying thereby and one as having taken his food knows him, the Lord. Having received the food, knows the person that feeds him. Even cows know the master. Horses know the master. Okay, so those that chew the cud knows them to feed them. As we meditate upon the things of the Lord, as David said right here, okay, we know the one that feeds us. Okay, we know the one that feeds us, that nourishes him, and resting upon him, upon the Lord, rejoices in him, and meditates on spiritual things. Okay, those that rejoice in him meditate upon spiritual things. Okay. You will free yourselves from Satan's shackles. Satan will continually try to impose upon your imagination, for you to use your imagination, which, of course, you'll only resist with hyssop. Okay, with hyssop. Okay, which has to do with you're leaning on the staff, you're leaning on Christ. Work with the covenant, walk by faith. Okay, verse 17. And in this he speaks well, having respect to the commandment. This is your activity for them. What therefore is it that he says? That we should hold fast to them that fear the Lord. This is what he's saying. That we should continually meditate, hold fast. Okay, remain with the master who feeds you. Okay? Those that fear the Lord and those who meditate on the command of the word which they have received in their heart. Okay, with those that declare their righteous judgments of the Lord. There's the word righteous judgments again. You might want to underline that. Okay, because those whose heart is circumcised discern the things of the Lord as the Spirit would have it, and can see His Spirit at work in His judgments, and this we rejoice in. Okay, this rejoice in. Okay, your heart, it shows that your heart is circumcised if you can identify that. Okay, if you can see these things unfolding before you, then you know your heart's been circumcised and that the foundation of truth is put within you. Okay, now you're starting to grow. Okay, going to the next stage, you're beginning to grow now, see, as a young man, okay, the next stage of your growth. Okay, but those that are still little children continually falter, having not seen the judgments of the Lord, not learning His fear, okay, they continue to falter, not understanding these things, they'll continually lean to the wisdom of man, in order to try to make sense of everything. Okay, you can't just make sense out of it, you only can see it by faith. Okay, you can see the judgments of the Lord by faith. So therefore, those that chew the cud, those that meditate upon the things of the Lord, are those who see the righteous judgments of God. Okay. And keep His commandments, as Barnabas says here. We're following that order of activity to love one another with, to escape the condemnation, okay, of all those that are separated from Him are under the curse. Okay, but all those that join to Him, okay, receive the benefits of, say, prospering in His knowledge, increasing in faith, abounding in charity one toward another. Okay, that shows that you are in Him. Okay. Now verse 18. Okay, in short, we have about 8 minutes left here. In short, okay, with those who know that to meditate, now you might want to circle the word meditate again there, verse 18, draw life in the word verse 18, meditate verse 18 up there to verse 17, the word meditate, okay, which means to think about. Okay, so memorizing scripture is a form of meditation for you. Okay, that's why it's good to think about these things. Think on these things. Okay, go through your flashcards. Okay, that's another form of meditation. See, and memorizing scripture. Memorize Psalms 1. Memorize Psalms 2. Memorize Psalms 23. Okay, you can start with the common ones, and then it didn't work for those things which really minister to you. Okay, you can work like Psalms 91. Okay, or if you want to go for some real long ones, Psalms 119. Okay, that's a whole year-long endeavor, lifetime endeavor, I'd say. Okay, Psalms 119. Okay, in short, with those who know that to meditate is a work of pleasure, okay, our labor is a labor of no sweat. Okay, it does not induce sweat. Okay, and therefore exercise themselves in the word of the Lord. Okay, the word of the Lord, the revelation of this grace is pleasant to those that feast on it. Okay. Okay, but it's bitterness to those, okay, that are offended. Okay, it's bitterness to those that have been eating thorns. Okay, but why pour in the oil and the wine to bring healing? So those that eat of the grape will bring healing to the soul, okay, and remove the cuts in the tongue. But why might they eat those that cleave the hoof? because the righteous live in this present world. Okay, we're in two places at the same time. Okay, even though we're in the flesh, yet we're walking by the Spirit. Okay, and so our discernment is the same. Okay, but His expectation is fixed upon the other. Okay, and we're not living down here to live for the honor of man, okay, which perishes, but we're living for the honor of God, which is eternal. Okay, which crown will be given to us? You see, in the presence of a multitude of angels, okay, at that time, okay, and all of us will rejoice together, okay, upon these rewards. See then, brethren, how admirably Moses commanded these things. But how should we thus know all this? Okay, is this really the proper way of doing this? And understand it. Well, of course, it is the proper way. We therefore, understanding aright the commandments, speak as the Lord would have us. Okay, because the Lord is that Spirit that's giving it. Okay, wherefore, He has circumcised our ears and our hearts, that we might know these things. For the Spirit nurtures you to mature so you can rejoice with Him in these righteous judgments. Okay, chapter 10. Okay, and we have 5 minutes left here. Let us now inquire whether the Lord took care to manifest anything beforehand concerning water on the cross. Now this even gets more interesting here. He talks about the water on the cross, as the Apostle John also says, this is concerning this, the water and the Spirit and water and the blood. Okay, what does this signify? Okay, well, we can see this signifies a priesthood that's manifesting itself here. Okay, as that of Moses. Okay, as also as that of Christ after or Melchizedek. Okay, but the water he's going to be talking about right here. Okay, well, I'll read on here and you'll see what he talks about as Barnabas brings us to our attention here. Okay, concerning water and the cross. Now, for the former of that covenant, these that are written to the people of Israel of the first covenant, and know, the people of Israel, how they shall not receive that baptism, which is the Holy Spirit, which brings us to forgiveness of sins. Okay, that which they had could not bring perfection or remission. Okay, because Christ had to be engrafted within us. Okay, in order for the conscience to be purged, but that which is of water, okay, was a foreshadowing of His work. Now, John the Baptist said the same thing: I indeed baptize with water, but he that comes after me, which is before me, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay, so Barnabas is reflecting upon that. Okay, as concerning a point of transition, how they shall not receive that baptism which the Holy Spirit which brings to forgiveness of sins. Right, but shall institute another, okay, which baptism, which is of water, to themselves of that first covenant that cannot, see, as the earth water versus the Spirit, okay, as that which is earthbound and being earth water versus that which is the spiritual. For thus says the prophet, is concerning this. He says, "Be astonished, okay, be amazed at this, okay, of how God uses these types and shadows. So be astonished, O heaven." Because this is where the pattern came from, isn't it? And let the earth tremble. Why? Because the earth is subject to that which is above. Okay, and that which is earthly is weak. So therefore, our flesh trembles at the voice of the Lord, doesn't it? Okay, as the earth trembles at the commands of God, okay, we also, even our own soul, trembles at the word of the Lord. But be astonished, O heaven, and we let the earth tremble as at it, because this people have done two great and wicked things. They have left me. Okay, they have abandoned the contact point, okay, which this represents, okay, that of the Spirit, the fountain of living water, the fountain of living water, okay, that which is eternal is being grafted within you, okay, so that being grafted within you, your soul becomes self-eternal, and out from the soul issues this life which will take form, and which also will increase the glory of God with, okay. That's why Jesus said, "Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water." He's meaning that in the literal form, okay, that the Spirit would take these images and bring life. Okay, the fountain of the living water, and have digged for themselves broken cisterns. Okay, they rejected me. He says here, the contact point. They have abandoned that which is the Spirit, and they built for themselves something that will fall into decay and corruption, which is carnal minded. Okay, that can hold no water. Okay, as a soul. In verse 4. Is my holy mountain a Zion, a desolate wilderness? Okay, which represents, it's supposed to be a glorious beacon to the world. Okay, but shall it be definitely subdued by sinners? No, it won't. Because in the end, the mountain, a stone should be cut from the mountain, and that stone should become a great mountain in the earth, meaning Christ will rule the world in the ninth week. Okay? So we see again the spiritual will overcome that which is natural, the carnal. Is my holy mountain, Zion, a desolate wilderness? Okay, he goes on this verse, for you shall be as a bird when its nest is taken away. In other words, okay, the tool of its upbringing is removed. Okay, the tool of its upbringing is removed. That which is carnal and earthly and under Moses, okay, is temporal as a nest removed for the bird. Okay, it's like removing a bird's nest from your house. Okay, okay, and removing that, the bird, of course, once they leave, they don't come back. Okay, to that. Okay, so this shows that which is temporal is definitely removed as a nest is taken away. And again, the prophet says this, I will go before you. I'm going to set a pattern. Okay, and we'll make plain the mountains, which means I'll bring every imagination into subjection. Okay, and break the gates of brass, which has to do with every barrier and false justification of man will be removed at the voice of the Lord. Okay, even those barriers which are within our heart. Okay, the grace of God gaining entrance break the gates of brass, okay, and the iron bars, and snap asunder the bars of iron. Okay, and will give you dark and hidden and visible treasures. Okay, so you might want to underline that verse 5, and I will, of course, the Lord is saying that will give you dark and hidden and invisible treasures. Okay. Not that which the carnal minded can indulge in, but the spiritual minded feast in. We feast on these things. Okay, these things of the spirit. Okay, and our soul is enlarged. Okay, because the equity of God continues to bring life to us. Okay, through each level of your growth. Okay, these are the hidden things which the Lord will reveal to those that love Him. Okay, so I will give you dark, hidden, invisible treasures that they may know that I am the Lord your God. Okay, that they may marvel at the wisdom of God in these things. Okay, in verse 6 here. Okay, let me finish this and we'll get ready to offer our sacrifices. And again, he shall dwell in the high den of the strong rock. Meaning, of course, it has to do with a place of refuge. Okay, and what follows in the same prophet? His water is faithful. Right? You shall see the king with glory, and your soul, not the body, shall learn the fear of the Lord, that is by this sign, okay, and by this refuge, okay, that which the Spirit provides. Okay, well, I'm going to stop right there, and we'll pick up here Wednesday, so make sure you tune in Wednesday, okay, and continue on here expounding out of the book of Barnabas here. Well, I got a couple of sacrifices here I'm getting ready to offer, and then Maria's going to be taking over.